Had you actually read the email, you would know that the podcast you are about to listen to could contain explicit language
and offensive content.
These HR experts' views are not representative of their past, present, or future employers. If you have ever heard, "My manager is unfair to me,"
"I need you to reset my HR portal password,"
or
"Can I write up my employee for crying too much?"
Welcome to our little safe zone. Welcome to Jaded HR.
Welcome to Jaded HR, the podcast by two HR professionals who want to help you get through the workday by saying all the things that you're thinking, but say them out loud. I'm Warren Workman.
And this is Chris Feathers.
All right, back again for another episode. As promised, this episode is inspired by our listener whose rating I've already closed accidentally.
This is why we prep, Warren.
Do homework.
It's just like meetings. Get your shit together before the meeting.
There's no cute girls to cheat off of here?
What? Oh, geez. That's bad. Two middle-aged men. And there you go with that comment.
Well, I'm thinking of when you were in high school and college.
We just lost 10 of our viewers, or 10 of our listeners.
How can we have negative listeners?
Exactly.
So, anyhow, this episode was inspired by a listener that left us an Apple podcast review, SRNTX76.
Such a great name.
Yes. They left us a review and asked us to do an episode on breaking into HR, so I thought I'd give that a shot. But I have a couple other reviews I want to go over, and one was from our friend Jan Janerson, who was on our episode where Not Sherm Approved teaches us about duck butter. She wrote on Podchaser, "Jaded HR is hilariously authentic. Listening to the dynamics between the hosts makes you want to call them up and meet you for a beer. Real HR professionals talking real HR problems. Highly recommended for those of us in the human resource space." So, Jan, I'm so sorry it's taken me so long. You put this up in May, and normally I get a notification when something goes on Podchaser, and I did not this time. But thank you very much, and we are going to have you on again, which brings me to another review we got just in the last week. This is from LunaPup34 on Apple Podcasts. LunaPup wrote, "Nothing surprises me. I work in HR. There's a lot of information in this podcast. I'm loving listening to the stories and other stupid things that we in HR deal with. As someone who has an HR degree and a master's in business psychology, who has broken into the HR field through staffing and now education, I have a lot of appreciation for this podcast. My favorite episode thus far was with Not Sherm Approved, and you should 100% bring her back for more. Thanks for creating this and giving me something to listen to while I deal with the chaos of the workplace. Feedback. You guys are awesome, but I'd also like to throw out that guests keep everything fresh. I'd love to hear more opinions, stories, and best practices from others also."
So, and it's like, you want to have one beer with Warren and I, but you know, let's bring somebody else in for that second beer.
I'm going to get sick of them real quick.
Yeah. Those guys are funny for about 10, 15 minutes, and then, you know, fresh perspective is always good. Yep.
Yeah, like we're like little children. You're good for a couple minutes, and then they piss you off. But anyways, no, LunaPup34. I'll go ahead and announce now. We are having Jan come back. I don't have a date solidified yet, but we've already been in the talk with that. As for other guests, I've put out a handful of, and by handful I mean three or four, not dozens or anything, invitations for people to be guests. I have not heard anything positive returned yet. Nobody's told me no, but nobody's told me yes either. So if you know people who would be good guests.
Why are these guys bothering me?
Another solicitor.
Yeah, exactly. And your comeback to solicitors, you're probably like, fuck these guys.
Exactly.
Leave me the fuck alone.
I'm getting the lifetime subscription to email hell. But I've got some feelers out there. We're going to work on some more guests. We definitely want to do that more often as well. So if anybody knows of someone who'd be a great guest, please send, let us know through either our social media channels. And I've been awesome this week. I made 2 whole social media posts. So
we need to hire a teenager.
I've tried hiring my own, and I get the rolling eyes and things like that.
Come on.
It means they'd have to listen to us.
Help Dad's project. Come on.
to do that. We do, but I got 2 posts out this week, and actually we're going to talk about one of them a little bit later, but yeah, just a lot going on. So as promised, I wanted to get into breaking into HR. Don't do it. And that is our episode, folks.
Exactly. And your best practice today is don't do it.
Don't do it. Thanks for listening. I'll warn you.
Yeah.
Honestly, when writing some of the show notes for this episode, I was going really in between way jaded and not jaded. And this whole episode is going to be a balancing between the two. Is there some serious things I'm trying to be funny with it while still getting that information out there? But yeah, HR is like, I'm a member of a couple of Facebook groups and anything. Once again, I mainly lurk, so you're probably not going to see my name on there. But I see so many gripes on both Facebook and LinkedIn. People, they're upset. They have their HR degree. They have this, that, their certifications or whatever, and they can't break into the field. And HR can be a difficult field to break into just because I think there's so many people who want to get in to HR.
It's a very difficult field to break into. The misconception of what we do is paramount.
Exactly.
They just don't understand. I'm a people person. I'd be great in HR. You know what? I'm not fucking hiring you if that's your response. Like, I'm not gonna do it. But breaking into HR is extremely difficult. It's once you get that HR in your title, it's a lot easier to be mobile. But until then, it is difficult.
It is. So I hit couple of bullet points of how what people use to get into HR. And the first is education. And I'd like to say education is very helpful, but it's not the golden ticket. You can have your bachelor's degree in HR. You can have your master's in HR or some other HR-related field, but it doesn't equate experience. HR is a field that experience matters much more than education. I'm speaking as someone who has a degree in HR, and I think Feathers will agree with me, who has a master's in HR, that the bulk of your, it looks great on a resume, it helps by all means, but it's the experience is what's going to get you in the door more than the education.
Yeah, it goes back to book smarts versus street smarts. I mean, when I first broke into HR, I had the book smarts. I understood the theories. I understood the practicality of what they were trying to say. But could I actually apply it in live situations? It took me a long time. It's a learning curve.
It is an absolute learning curve. And I think the education comes in handy. The laws and regulations, they come in. Having that type of knowledge comes in handy. But the laws and things like that change very quickly. Mm-hmm. So it's the education helps. Laws change at a moment's notice. I mean, I subscribe to all these newsletters about employment law changes, and I only operate primarily in 3 states, but I get them for other states as well. And just because it's part of the package, and wow, is it just these things that are always being thrown our way. It's crazy. It really is. And to keep up with, pick on state A, New York has a law that's similar to state B, let's say Connecticut, but they're different enough that you have to know the difference in things. And it's really tough. There's no 2 ways about it. So, but I guess that's a little bit not jaded, but here I go with the jaded angle. And I will forewarn everybody, this is going to be a very unpopular opinion. And it's my opinion, and you can take it for what it's worth.
Oh, Lord.
But HR is one of those spots, and I think it's because so many people want to get into HR. There are so many colleges and universities out there that are giving out completely worthless degrees. And I'm not going to name any particular ones that are giving out worthless degrees, but there are also some very good ones. I mean, they're great ones, and Lord knows, do not Google HR degrees, you're going to see nothing in your feed but HR degrees for the next 6 months on your Facebook, your LinkedIn, all these other things that will be there for forever. But there are some very good online colleges and universities, but there are some very bad ones as well. I happen to have worked for a very good online for-profit college, but there's so many bad players in the game. It's scary, and you really need to do your research because it is buyer beware at the extreme with these. And I wanted to pull reference to three big name online universities that have either failed or are on the cusp of failing today. ITT, you know, they were big all the way up till I forget what year it was that they finally collapsed. But I can still remember their really stupid commercials. Are you not making X amount of dollars per year with a ridiculous amount of money a year? If not, come to ITT and get your degree in this, that, or the other thing. And that's all good, but they're using bad stats. People, they're using average for people with 10 years of experience versus an entry-level person. And I remember thinking way back then, I wasn't in the educational arena, hearing those things. I wouldn't go to there just because of these stupid commercials. Take another college, Corinthian Colleges. They were fairly large in both the United States and Canada. They were so fucked up that the nation of Canada revoked their operating license in 2015. They had so many bad practices. And that was February 15 that Canada revoked their operating license. And then they voluntarily ceased operation in April of 18 in the United States and left so many people high and dry in their college education. And then one of my favorites, and this is where it's probably pretty unpopular, University of Phoenix. So many people have gone to University of Phoenix and they've they have some notable alumni, et cetera. But the amount of fines they've done for unethical practices is just ridiculous. I wrote down a list here of them and I only went back as far as 2000. But starting in 2000, they got a $6 million fine from the Department of Education. 2003, another Department of Education law violation. They settled it, paying a $67.5 million fine plus $11 million in legal fees. And that's what they settled for. 2004, same law, another settlement for another $9.8 million. 2010, they were found to have committed deceptive enrollment practices and fraudulent solicitation of FAFSA funds, the FAFSA, the Federal Form for Student Aid. That cost them a lot of money. And then in 2015, they settled, get this, for $191 million to the Federal Trade Commission for misleading advertisement. And they're still in business. These online colleges, you really have to beware. And do your research on these things. And I feel horrible for the people who got duped by these colleges. And because the students, they're trying to improve themselves. They were doing nothing wrong. They picked the wrong school. And some have wasted their GI Bill allowances. Others are still paying back student loans for degrees that are basically worthless. And there's been some programs out there to help them get their money back or forgive their student loans, but not 100% from what I've seen. And then adding insult to injury, the schools, they lost their money and their credits won't transfer because either no one will accept those schools' credits or there's, you know, some of these smaller schools that failed, there's nobody to transfer the credit to from. So they didn't have it. So by all means, please do your research on your colleges and their accreditation. Look at the accrediting bodies. That'll tell you a lot about the school, who their accrediting body is. There are some schools out there, believe it or not, they accredit themselves. Hey, that's like saying Jaded HR is the best podcast in the world, as stated by me. So
I give that a thumbs up.
Okay. Joe Rogan, nah, you know, whatever. Conan O'Brien, yeah, he's okay. But no, we are the best. But that's how some of these accrediting bodies work. And then some are a bunch of these group of smaller schools that get together and, hey, let's accredit ourselves. And then there's other accrediting bodies as well. One of my long-term goals is to be an adjunct HR instructor when I get closer to my retirement years to help supplement my income and things. And I don't have a master's degree. I've never completed it. But I actually spoke to someone at a local university. They had an opening at the time for an adjunct HR instructor. And I just chatted up somebody I knew and found out, and they told me to teach as an adjunct at that university, I must have at least a master's degree, and it must come from an AACSB school, which is the Association to Advance College Schools of Businesses, accredited college and university. They are an independent accrediting body. So the accreditation matters a lot depending on what you want to do. So really do your homework. Make sure you're getting into the right program. But please remember, education is not a golden ticket.
To kind of capitalize on that, from somebody that has their master's degree, I remember early on in my master's program, they gave us a list of schools and basically said, when you have to write your papers, and I can remember distinctly remembering a paper, writing a paper from on the theories of motivation, we had to have, I don't know, some like 30 to 35 sources. If we used a dissertation, like a PhD dissertation from one of the schools that was listed on that list and pretty much all the four paid universities, my professor said, I won't read it. I'll read your bibliography first. If I see something in there from one of those dissertations, you automatically fail.
Ouch.
Yep. So that said it all to me right there.
Yeah. It's rough. And I'm not saying good people don't come out of those
Absolutely.
Educational systems, and they don't come out of there better than they went in. I'm not saying that either. They do serve a purpose, and a lot depends on the individual, but some people were just completely duped and through, you know, not really any fault of their own. The next thing you see people asking a lot on the Facebook and LinkedIn pages are about the certifications. If I get my, you know, will getting a certification help me? And I did not, I meant to research this once again, doing my homework, not doing it. I meant to look because once upon a time when you were not allowed to put on an HR job description that you were looking for someone with a PHR or SPHR because there was disparate impact to minority mm-hmm. groups with that. I don't know if that's ever been fixed or not. I haven't done my homework on that. But right now, today, there are two major certification bodies for general HR body of knowledge. There's other ones for benefits and payroll and other things along those lines. But the two big ones are HRCI, which offers the APHR, which is the associates level, then the PHR, SPHR, global PHR, and then they have a California version for all of the above. So they have that. And then SHRM itself has two bodies of certification currently. I believe there are only two, the certified professional and the senior certified professional. And I'm pretty certain you can get both of them as a student.
That's accurate.
These are great for those people who have the book knowledge. Mm-hmm. Practical hands-on experience is not a factor. And actually, I think it can hinder your performance in some regards because you start overthinking the questions. You start thinking about your experience. That is the toughest thing. I had both my SPHR and my SHRM SCP once upon a time. I let them both lapse. My current employer wanted me to get my certification. So last year, right before the pandemic, I sat for the SHRM SCP again. I passed, but it is all book smart. Do they help you break into HR? Go ahead.
How did you explain the answers to the questions? I remember when I took it as well, you're like, take all logic out of consideration and then just look for whatever they think could be the best answer.
Absolutely. Logic, practical experience, forget it.
Just take all that out of it. Take that out. Just think of what did the book say? That's what it comes down to.
And the thing about it is it tests you on so many laws, the Mavis-Bacon Act, that's a typing program from the 80s when you learned to type, or 90s or something, once upon a time. The Mavis-Bacon, the Bacon-Davis Act, the Warren Act, the Taft-Hartley, you're going to have to know all those type things. And I will say all the exams, not just both, but all of them are labor union intensive. And I've never worked in a labor union environment, and not something I'd really be fond of doing, actually. Not that I wouldn't, but I have a preconceived bias for it, against it. But one thing about both of these exams is the pass rate is so low. My opinion is that they like it this way so they can see it, make it seem like it's more exclusive than it is, that it's a bigger deal. I think it scares people unnecessarily. going in the Wayback Machine, in 2003, I got my PHR certification. And I took a class to get that certification at a local university to help me study, and we formed a study group. Only two of us passed the exam the first time. I think another person passed it a second try, and then others just stopped trying altogether. And these, I think I was probably the least experienced professional in our group, and we studied hard and we did it. I think that maybe people got psyched out. But I think another thing that adds to their low pass rates is none of the programs truly vet who is taking the exam. I worked somewhere where we had an administrative assistant who did not qualify to take the PHR. It was at that time, PHR exam, but she took it every year and she failed every year. And HRCI kept taking her money. They didn't care. And if they'd vetted this person, you know, they didn't have the relevant experiences. I think if you're a student, you can take it, but otherwise they want some minimum amount of years of exempt level of experience before doing it. So it's interesting that they just don't really vet people to, they take you on your word. So
SHRM's gotten a lot tighter.
Really?
Yeah. I remember when I went through my process, I don't know, 2 years ago when I got my certification, I feel like I had to provide them quite a bit of information to know what I qualified for in terms of taking.
But if had you lied, would they have known?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I've never had anybody vet me on that. And yet I still got it. I fooled them.
Because you took all logic out of the thought process.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the answer that I would not do in real life?
Yeah.
D. Oh, that's the right answer. Okay, yeah. All right, that there we go.
Fire them? Okay, that's not what they want the answer to be. Oh my gosh, the phraseology. I remember, I think I posted on my personal Facebook or whatever at the time, if I see the words synergy or I forget what other terms, they overused some of these terms.
Oh, so it was buzztastic in terms of the buzzwords.
Oh, it was. That is an awesome phrase, buzztastic. That is, I love that. I'm going to steal that from you.
And you're welcome.
But no, the phraseology, the terms, it was just so hokey, and it got under my skin a little bit. But
I remember.
it was really.
If I have to see this one more fucking time. Just take the damn test, Warren. Just take the test.
I know. But now, when I first took my, here's taking the test. I took the PHR in 2003. I had to go all the way up to where you live in Richmond. And I had to go to a local community college up there and take it pen and paper in person. And then when I got my SPHR, it was at one of those little testing centers. And I guess with the pandemic, they're letting people take it from home. I got my SCP in February of 2020, right before the pandemic struck. So I got to, oh my gosh, they run a metal detector on you. Like if you wear glasses, they had to examine your glasses. They made you turn your pockets inside out. I'm like, really? it's not worth it that way to me to cheat, but I don't know for any of this. It was an interesting experience going to my, getting it done last year in a setting like that. But also, people ask, is one of the certifications better than the other? And amongst the PHR and SPHR or SHRM certifications, I will say I don't think one is better than the other. I will say when my employer asked me to get a certification, I chose the SHRM certification because the research credits were easier and to keep up with. The continuing professional education under the HRCI exam, you had to have business and strategic credits, and you had this type of credit and that type of credit. With SHRM, you just get the credits, period, done. And so you make it easy for me. That's what I'm going to choose. Let's see here. Weaving your way. I called this weaving your way into an HR career. And this is something my wife did. So she started with a large national company, started on their sales floor, was promoted a few times, became their HR exec eventually. And she had no background or experience in HR. She started there as a teenager working on the sales floor. And just because she worked there so long, got promoted, and she ended up being in HR. which she didn't like, and hence she's no longer in HR.
So she's smart.
My wife is so much smarter than me in so many different ways. And you know what? I'm saying that of my own free will. She doesn't listen to our podcasts. She will not listen. She listened to like two episodes. She goes, okay, I'm done. I'm like, okay.
I think that was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. And I get the eye rolls when it's time to record. Oh, yeah, I'm recording tonight. So anyways. But weave your way into HR. Find a larger company and take a position and weave your way in that way. So maybe it's intentional. But then again, remember, Jan Janerson said, oh, you're a chick. You can do HR. she was told one time in her career. So that's how she did it. I also had I tried to weave my way into HR and it did not work. Right after college, I accepted a retail position, which I sucked at. Or I didn't suck at. I hated it. After my 2-year review, hey, you're going to the short list, get your own store, yada, yada, yada. And I went on, well, the recruiter told me the store level was the gateway to the entire corporation. And I want to get into corporate HR. And he just looked at me and said, in 35 years of working here, you've never seen anybody go from the store level to corporate. So needless to say, I was not at that company much longer.
Yeah, I don't want to see you as a retail sales manager.
No, I was. I'm just the wrong personality for that. I couldn't. That's dealing with people way too much on so many different levels.
The public.
Yeah, the public. I can't do it.
But I'm jaded enough, but I really hate the fucking public.
it is so true. But taking off the jaded hat, I do think that one of the, in my opinion, this is how I did it, so maybe I'm biased a little bit too much, recruiting is a great way to break into HR. I know not only did I do it, I know so many people who did it. And some people love recruiting, some people hate it, but I think it could be a path of least resistance to get into HR. And I would maybe suggest starting in a third-party recruiting role. That's exactly what I did. I started for an IT consulting firm hiring COBOL JCL programmers to solve the Y2K problem. It was shooting fish in a barrel. It was fun. I had a great company. I had great coworkers. But you gain experience. You gain knowledge about these laws. You learn a little bit about HR. And then maybe you can transfer into a corporate HR role. And once again, that's what I did. I transferred into a corporate HR role. And then I became part of an HR team. And as the recruiter, I was on the policy development team. And I was on this team and that team. And expanded my HR experience. And my next job after that recruiting job was associate director of HR somewhere. So,
wow, you snowballed them.
I did.
Associate director. Come on.
And once again, that's another
you're
thing.
You're a junior generalist at best. Come on.
I was. I really was. But that's another thing with HR. Don't get hung
titles
up on
don't
the
matter.
Titles. Titles
no,
are.
Titles are worthless.
I've had. Every normal HR title you can have, from recruiter to director of HR, associate director, HR manager. My title today as we sit here is senior HR generalist, and yet I have more responsibility than I've ever had in my entire life in HR.
Which is also frightening.
It is. You want me to make that decision? but I work for a really good company. I have a lot of fun with it. And, you know, I report, even as a senior HR generalist, I report directly to the president. And it's great. It really works well. Don't get hung up too much on titles, because you're going to spin your wheels all day. And I saw a new title just this week. HX Director, the Human Experience Director, HX.
I've been hearing a lot more human capital,
but that's a moniker. People don't like the human capital. That's what somebody said and gotten some poopy in. Oh, let's see here. So anyhow, there's some ways to break into HR, but I'm going to skip down my notes a little bit. There was a job that was posted. I was Googling jaded HR just to see if we come up, where else we might come up with. And I found this job posting. It's with Caliber.
Do they have infringement rights? Can we?
I need to trademark the name.
Huh? Yeah.
And if you're an attorney who will help us trademark the name for free or cheap, my budget is cheap or free right now.
Yeah. Here's a dollar. For a nice review, I'll give you $2.
And a beer. How can I buy a beer? So Caliber Foods in Westminster, Colorado, and they are a cannabis company, a non-psychotropic cannabis company.
This makes this even funnier now.
Absolutely. That's why I wanted to throw it in there. I want to read the job, a snippet of their job description that they posted online. And it says now the position's been filled. We are looking for an HR generalist to bring energy and consistency to our people process. The successful candidate will have a strong working knowledge of all HR competencies, i.e. payroll, benefits, recruiting, retention, compliance, and enough confidence in that knowledge to remain calm while switching between them on a daily, even hourly basis. So it sounds like every other HR job in the world.
But now, again, this is a marijuana company. Remain calm. Yeah, remain calm. I'm going to take one of the gummies. I'm going to be fine. I promise to remain calm. I'll be even stoic. Like, just kind of like, sure.
It continues. They will find joy.
Exactly.
They will find joy in effectively executing existing processes, but also find excitement in taking open-ended direction and building process around it. This is a company that of high output, high achievers. Yeah. Cannabis company. We're high output. Yeah. High achievers. We pride ourselves on moving fast without breaking things. But those bongs can be kind of expensive.
Yeah.
Some of those nicer ones. To do that requires extensive cross-functional alignment and flexibility. So interpersonal skills and organized thinking are a must. So that eliminates me before we even finish up the thing. Organized thinking? Nope. But here's where I get eliminated from consideration. The final line of this paragraph. Above all else, the successful candidate will not be a salty, jaded HR professional. So now, I was thinking, on our social media post, I posted, I'm trying to be offended. I really was trying to be offended at this, but I just couldn't help laughing so much at it. You know, they talk about code words in advertisement. You're not supposed to use, look how many quote unquote code words they use that you're not supposed to. Energetic, i.e. young. So I'm in a protected class now. I'm way over 40, so that they're using code words to get rid of me. What else did they say? Energetic. Anyways, and then salty. What does salty usually denote? An old, crotchety person like me. So I don't know. I got such a kick out of finding this job description, and a lot of our
the best is that you should have applied for it. And on the byline, the bottom of your thing, and I host a podcast.
That's called Jaded HR. Put that the top line of my resume. Host of Jaded HR.
You might have heard me on Jaded HR. But if I get samples of your products, I think I won't be so salty.
That's, oh boy. But, you know, they use so many code words that you really shouldn't be doing. And what they're saying is they don't want anybody with it. They want that people person. I'm a people person. That's who they want. And God bless them for it.
That's fantastic.
Oh, I forgot. I must have missed something here. Oh, the second paragraph. As the HR generalist, you will directly work with our director of human resources to build a learning organization with a strong, respectful, no drama culture. You'll immediately take over and in time improve our daily, weekly, and monthly processes and run them with military precision. So,
I don't even have comments anymore. I'm just like scratching my head going, wait, what? I mean, they evidently hired somebody with some creative writing skills or something. Like,
it's so funny.
Like somebody approved to get this published. That's what cracks me up even more.
Yeah. Like, yeah. This
looks great. This is great. Just publish this.
Just go with it. Run.
Yeah.
And they obviously have an HR director there.
Well, but it could have been you. It could have been you as a junior generalist.
Hey, I want that salty motherfucker. Yep, you're hired. You come in. I hate people. I'm going to punch someone in the face today. Who can I punch? You're hired, dude.
You're hired. You're in.
You're in. Okay, as long as you don't really punch. You can want all day long, but you gotta hold back just a tad. So, well, as ridiculous as that is, I got something I think is even more ridiculous.
Oh, boy.
TikTok resumes. They launched that in the last couple weeks. And I was looking at TikTok resumes, and this is what they TikTok writes about the program. TikTok is testing a job application tool that allows its users to directly apply with video resumes to companies like Chipotle, Target, Shopify. The short-term pilot project called TikTok Resumes stems from contact that has organically popped up on the platform, like hashtag career talk, in the company's deliberate initiatives to influence college students and younger users. Wow, code words. Again, there are more than 30 companies sign up to accept resumes for the pilot, which will last until July 31st. Users will have to create a video resume, post it to TikTok, and then send that video to recruiters through the app. An instructional video for the pilot program recommends applicants don't include personal contact information like their email address in the publicly shared video. Companies like Target, Chipotle, Sweetgreen, and Great Clips are also using the platform to find entry and mid-level employees to work in stores and warehouses, with some full-time and corporate roles sprinkled in. Shopify is looking to hire a senior data engineer through the pilot. Really, what could possibly go wrong? When I saw this, and I'm glad I did it from my phone, I was at work when I did it, I entered the hashtag TikTok resumes. And I searched for maybe half an hour before I decided that I was not being very productive at work.
So half an hour, got it.
Yeah, only half an hour. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But only
working from home now, huh?
Only the smallest fraction of resumes would I actually say were actual resumes. Use that hashtag at least. And I will say there were some really good ones. There were some that are done well in the best of intentions, but there were so many that were not safe for work. I'm glad I used my phone because I would not want to have searched that on my company network. And search that hashtag, because I will say a good portion, maybe as many as half of them, are the girls, look at my titties on TikTok. That's basically what half of these with the hashtag TikTok resumes were. Yeah, I can see myself going next, you know, swiping through the next one and looking at something, and here comes my boss. What the fuck are you doing, Lauren? And then the employer will go through and see your other resume, your other TikTok videos, which is even worse, probably, for some people.
No, so, I think that's even more awesome.
It's more awesome. Better stories for us. So so if you've hired someone on a TikTok resume, let us know. We'd love to hear that.
Please let us know.
Have you tried to recruit using TikTok resumes? Like I said, I just looked at it for shits and giggles, and it was not worth my time. So,
Thirty minutes of it.
Yeah, but not that I don't appreciate the look at my titty TikTok videos that are out there. I appreciate them, but not when I'm trying to actually. I was trying to work, kind of, but anyhow. Between trying not to be terribly jaded and breaking the HR degree into the HR field and applying for this job at Caliber Foods in Colorado, I think we've hit a lot today.
That we have.
So did you have a best practice by any chance for us today?
I do have a best practice for us. Quoting one of my favorite lines from one of my favorite movies, I'm not the co-ops. You got to think about this for a second. HR people, listen up. We are not the lead on disciplinary matters. Have your managers actually do their fucking job and discipline their own people. We're here to help. We're here to consult. We're here to look at all the situation and make sure it's legal and all that good stuff. But we're not the people who should be driving the bus when it comes to that.
Not even the short bus?
Even the short bus. And I'm sure we've both have ridden that several times in our lives. Get your managers to do their job, do their job, do their job.
Yes. So thank you very much for listening. Before we leave today, I want to thank the Underscore Orchestra for the use of our theme song, The Devil with the Devil. And then also thank the talented voice artist, Andrew Quilpa, for our disclaimer. As always, I'm Warren Workman.
And this is Chris Feathers.
And we're helping you survive HR one what the fuck moment at a time.